Tex settled his gray and maroon flight bag farther back over his left shoulder and strode forward into the bright southeast Texas sunlight. As he embraced the short, dark-haired guy in an army jacket, Anya staggered slightly. It wasn't the hefty bag of scrolls or her own heavy duffel, but the sun's powerful dazzle that almost stopped her in mid-stride. The cantilevered awning in front of the tall, glass-paneled facade of George Bush International Airport kept the direct late-morning sun off, but did nothing about the blinding reflection from the pickup lane and the cars jostling for position in it. The air hit her like a wet blanket. The humidity was no worse than in Copenhagen, perhaps, but springtime was hot here on Buffalo Bayou, close to Galveston Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. She smelled petroleum and hot asphalt.
Joey? Joey Travis! Great to see you, compadre! Come and meet the ladies. Joey, meet Anya Cree, archaeologist extraordinaire and sometimes talking head on our friendly rival show, Chasing History's Monsters. And this here is Yadja Arkadzic, who, despite her youthful appearance, is an internationally recognized heavy hitter on the subject of ancient languages.
Hey, girls.
Women.
Oh, sure. Pleasure to meet you.
Yadja peered at Joey with a calculating look in her blue eyes that made Anya nervous. Delayed adolescence and hormones seemed to be rearing their ugly heads again. One way or another, Joey kept smiling. He was thin and quick in his motions, with a face hollow enough in the cheeks to make Anya wonder if it resulted from poor nutrition rather than genes or fitness. His eyes were hazel, with unusually long lashes. His hair was brown and receding ever so slightly on the sides. He had a couple days' growth of beard on his sunken cheeks. He didn't seem to stand in place entirely still. Anya decided to give him the benefit of the doubt, and she took his hand. His grip was strong and firm, but quick, as if he shied from contact. Anya took over Yaja's bag along with her own and the scrolls. She wanted a pretext to go around to the rear gate of the gray and white battered Jeep Grand Cherokee to share a quick word with Tex, while Joey, full of gallantry, helped Yadja into the rear seat of the vehicle. Tex heaved his bag inside on top of a jumble of what looked like camping gear and drab olive ground sheets, and without asking, peeled Yadja's bag away from Anya's left shoulder.
He seems kind of anxious, your friend does.
He's just whined a little tight. Always been that way. It doesn't mean much. He managed to get through jump training at ranger school with me.
A shadow crossed his face like a small cloud passing the sun. He smiled and relieved Anya of her own bag. She led him. He put the bag of ancient scrolls carefully inside.
Let's hit the road, Joey.
Joey Travis had been the first person to spring to Tex's mind when he thought about who could be of help to Anya and Yadja in their quest. Not on his own account, so much as that of his uncle, Eamon Hoag. Carthage Oil and Gas was a major second-tier U.S. oil concern, and Anya wasn't sure whether he was chairman or president or CEO. All Tex or Joey would say was that Hoag was CO and G. Tex and Joey had sat up front chatting amiably like two good old boys. Joey had followed the Beltway bypass around where it curved south and ran along the west side of the Sheldon Reservoir, then turned east on the Beaumont Highway past the reservoir's south end. Every now and then they would pass a single working oil rig, bobbing incessantly for black gold, sometimes literally in someone's backyard. As they came up on what a sign identified as the San Jacinto River, Yadja jumped in her seat and pointed right. Anya looked to see, south of the bridge and on the river's far side, a collection of towers, scaffolding, and white-painted pipes of a sizable oil refinery. Above it rose a white oval sign with a big blue EP logo. Anya's stomach turned.
Look!
Whoa. Joey, is that new?
You know it. They bought an American company about a year or so ago. They're moving hard against the smaller companies, too. It's probably the reason my uncle will want to help you.
I hope you're right.
Are we in Louisiana yet?
Uh-uh. Still in Texas. We're not planning on leaving either, at least until we've talked to Uncle Eamon.
The prospect of convincing Eamon Hoag to use his power and influence to have more of the scrolls transcribed still sounded like a long shot to Anya. Although Hoag was relatively small as players in the global oil game went, according to internet sources, his net worth hovered around $850 million. It was hard to think of a near billionaire as small time, but Anya was aware that this might be the biggest game on Earth. The quirky Texas tycoon was known for his fondness for fast horses, young women, and old whiskey. What he might feel like doing to help solve an archaeological mystery was a whole different story. His kind of money could buy a lot of options, though, so they had no choice but to go for it. They had crossed the Trinity River and turned north up State Highway 140 at a town called Liberty. At a wide patch of road called Moss Hill, they turned right, moving a mile or so past the turnoff to the loblolly unit of the Big Thicket National Preserve. Joey turned north onto an unmarked dirt road. It wound through alternating stands of pine, scrub oak, and sweet gum for what Anya thought was at least a mile before Joey pulled off onto a wide spot in the road beside a bayou. A little weathered wood shack stood before them. The appearance of timelessness spoiled a little by a gas pump and a lot by the satellite dish on the roof.
Well, this is our stop, ladies. Better get your gear. Uncle Eamon might want to spirit you away somewhere, like a safe house or something.
Yaja's eyes glittered.
Ooh, a safe house!
As Anya hefted the scrolls from the opened back of the Cherokee, she caught Tex's eye and arched an eyebrow. He shrugged.
I don't know what happens next. I guess all we can do is cross our fingers and go with the flow.
Tex handed Yaja's bag to her as Anya shouldered her own. The three headed down to the dock, where a white-haired black man wearing denim coveralls, sun-faded and grease-stained to a sort of brown-and-white tie-dye, stood with Joey. Beyond them, a curious contrivance, like a low platform with a big openwork cage at one end, sat on top of some yellowing weeds flattened on the bank.
What is that?
It's an airboat. We use them a lot around here to get around the bayou. All right, Verl, we'll take it from here.
You take care of yourself out there, Joey.
Verl waved, then shuffled back towards the shack as if his feet hurt. The boat sported a big airplane-style propeller with 8 blades enclosed in the cage. In front of it was mounted what looked like a car engine. Before that, a single bucket seat, built up about 3 feet above the hull with a long lever, evidently a tiller, to the right of it, was obviously a driver's seat. 2 bench-style seats were set in front of it, both facing forward. Tex and Joey stashed the bags in a space under the operator's seat and pulled a blue synthetic ground sheet over them to protect them from spray and, Anya guessed, oil seepage from the engine. The water smelled of tannin and rotting vegetation. Tiny flies and gnats swarmed around them, fortunately not the biting kind. Joey helped the two women into the boat. Tex climbed in and sat down beside Anya. Yaja took the seat in the front. Anya recalled a time when she'd always wanted to ride in the front on roller coasters. She didn't do that anymore. In fact, she didn't feel much desire to ride roller coasters at all. Her life itself had become enough of a thrill ride. Joey climbed in last and clambered up into his seat. The boat began to glide down the last couple of yards to the bayou, throwing up a swirl of debris behind. The boat wallowed a little as it entered the water, then stabilized as Joey turned the square prow northwest. With the sudden increase in engine power, the small craft shot forward with an exhilarating rush. They passed a partially submerged stand of trees, killed and silvered by a fire, then made their way through a half-drowned forest of living oak trees. As the bayou bent east, a big gleaming white structure appeared ahead on the right. In front stood a large, well-kept wooden dock and boathouse. With a flourish, Joey turned the airboat and ran it up on the bank next to the dock, flattening the long grass beneath. Leaving the other bags, Anya retrieved the scrolls, and they stepped down from the boat. The four walked up a white graveled path with old railroad ties for sidings to the porch. The hunting lodge had a sprawling, comfortable look. It was built of whitewashed wood with a cypress-shake roof. Some old pecan trees, not yet coming into bloom, shaded the front and sides. They stepped up onto the porch. Tex held the door while Joey pushed ahead, followed by Yaja, then Anya. Tex came in last. The room was dark and almost seemed chilly. Anya wasn't sure if there was air conditioning or just shade and contrast to the afternoon heat outside. Her eyes adjusted slowly, becoming aware of a calculated, rustic-seeming interior. There was a longhorn rack on a dark-stained wood plaque on the wall above a fieldstone fireplace. Off to the right of the door, a large figure sat in a chair covered in black and white cowhide. He faced away from the newcomers, toward a muted, giant plasma TV in one corner of the room. He seemed to be asleep. Joey took a step toward the seated figure.
Uncle Eamon?
Suddenly, Anya sensed them around her. Dark presences in the cool, dark front room of the lodge, closing in from beyond her peripheral vision. She turned just in time to see a small, slim man with white hair, a white tropical weight silk suit, and a lilac-colored tie emerge from an open door on the room's far side. Tex rocked back slightly with the bullet's impact, the front of his blue denim shirt blossoming with a spreading stain. He went to his knees on the plank floor, and his eyes rolled up into his head. He slumped forward, face first.
No! You said nobody get hurt!
Joey gaped at his fallen friend. Beyond him, Anya now saw that a revolver lay on the floor by the cowhide chair, near a hand that dangled over one arm. In a flash of comprehension, she realized the tycoon had been suicided. Subdued, possibly drugged, forced to take the weapon's grip and pull the trigger. As Joey came to the same realization, his face went from a mask of surprise to pure agony. He turned and started toward the chair. A man wearing blue jeans and a stained gray work shirt stepped out from the hallway. He held a pump shotgun at the hip.
Shit!
The charge took Joey in the left kidney, sending him staggering. He bent backward in agony, grabbing himself with both hands. The second blast took away the better part of the wounded man's head. Louis Sulin spun to the man with the weapon.
Who told you to...
Anya sidekicked him with all her strength. She thought she felt something break inside the man, but even as she moved, she had seen from the corner of her eye another figure emerge from a door to her left holding a shotgun. She could be certain that Sulin would be out of action for at least a few moments.
No!
Yaja launched herself at the second shotgunner. Either taken by surprise or reluctant to shoot a woman, he never even brought the weapon up before she started clawing and pummeling his face. He pushed her away and she landed hard on the floor. He turned toward Anya, raising the shotgun, but before he could pull the trigger, she was on him, slashing her sword side to side. The man was dead before he could understand what had happened. Anya turned to face a man looming at her right shoulder. He had been one of an unknown number who stood in ambush flanking the front door, out of immediate sight, as Joey waltzed blithely in with his cheery greeting to his uncle. He seemed thunderstruck at the sword in Anya's hand, but he had a gun in his. Anya brought the blade up and then down. He fell back against the wall, a gout of blood bursting from his chest. Another man lunged at her, and Anya cut upward. The man went to his knees as his guts slopped out of his ripped flannel shirt. Yet another man was behind her, but in one fluid movement she spun, slashing him across the eyes. In a death spasm, he squeezed his trigger, but the shot missed. Unburned propellant thrown out by the blast stung Anya's cheek. An assailant threw down his Taurus double-action revolver and turned to run toward what seemed like the dining room at the left of the front door. Anya rushed forward, slashing the killer across the back without remorse. Instead of putting him out of his misery, she stepped over him. His agonized groans would distract his fellows. Yaja simply sat on the floor in a corner with her knees up, staring at the unfolding carnage with wild eyes. Anya put the sword away and grabbed up the shotgun Joey's murderer had dropped. Anya confirmed at least one more shell was in the magazine, then leaned around to point it down the hallway. She spotted Sulin crumpled at the far end, one hand across his ribs, the other clutching his pistol. He rolled quickly out of the way as she fired, almost positively missing the blast. She worked the pump again, trying to remember how many shells a shotgun held. If it was a combat gun, she thought she recalled it would have a capacity of 7 or 8. Somebody came through another door at the other end of the big front room where Uncle Eamon slumped in his chair. Anya shouldered the weapon and flash-sighted through the ghost ring. The gunman's face crumpled in on itself as if punched by an invisible fist. She looked at Yaja again. The girl's face was red and streaked with tears. The shock was beginning to subside and reality was setting in.
No time. Get up.
She took the girl's arm, but Yaja scrambled to her feet quickly enough, bringing the bag full of scrolls with her. The two women moved to the side of the front door, keeping a wary eye on the back of the room.
When I give the word, I want you to throw the front door open hard. Don't go out. Understand?
Yaja nodded, and Anya moved to the window. Some chintz curtains framed it, and a gauzy hanging prevented a clear view either way. Anya caught Yaja's teary eye. She was biting her lip, but seemed to be relatively in control.
Now!